There is a huge amount to unpack in this message, and I wanted to actually start at the first three verses of the book of Acts. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. We've all had setbacks in our lives. And sometimes you may think to yourself that the setbacks are so great you'll never recover from them. In the past month, there have been two sales directors who I've known and respected in my particular industry for many years, who've been made redundant, and they were from key suppliers I've used. Both of them were outperforming the market, both of them in their 50s, both of them thinking that they were going to be doing this particular job for the rest of their lives and it would see them through to retirement. And it's sad. But imagine you're building a community, a church, Christians in Jerusalem who are successful, and there's a team of apostles and deacons there, just to find that it is scattered, as happened to the early Christians in that particular passage of the chapter. And it's all going so well. You feel God is blessing your work, and then pow, the Jewish authorities, probably led by Saul, come in and start imprisoning leaders and scattering the followers and the believers. It would be devastating. You might think that all of it's lost. But if you remember back to chapter 2 of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he blessed the followers and allowed them to be understood in the languages of all the people who were there at that particular time. Well, that's something the Jewish authorities really should have thought about before they scattered everyone to the four corners of the earth. Only a fool would think that they could stop the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. They were fools then, and they're fools now. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 said, "Those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went." Well, that's a reason to praise God. And now Philip the evangelist, and that's Philip the evangelist. He's not Philip the apostle. Two different people. Philip the evangelist was a deacon, and his job at the time, when he started off being a deacon, was to ensure the correct distribution of food. But after he did that and sorted that out, there was other work that the Lord gave him to do. So Philip was scattered. He went to Samaria. And that was a relatively safe place because the Jewish authorities despised the Samaritans and the Samaritans. And they did it because they didn't see them as proper Jews. They were half Jewish. They didn't suppress them. They didn't believe them. They didn't bring them into the fold. And they weren't particularly fussed if Philip went and preached the good news there because they didn't really care. But boy, did Philip give good news. And he was preaching and people were being cured and of impure spirits, and the paralyzed were being healed and the lame were walking, and many people were being baptized, and it was so busy that Simon Peter had to come along and help. So clearly, here is a church that is growing fast and being blessed, and it's absolutely fantastic. And it must have come as a real shock to Philip when an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes along from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now, it's an instruction to leave a thriving ministry and to move to the middle of nowhere. And what's more, with no explanation. Now, I once heard an officer in the Household Guards ask, what makes a really good private when it comes to drilling on the parade ground? He had a simple one. He said one word. He said thick. He said, we want them to obey the commands like robots, correctly obey the commands. That's what we're looking for. Thick is brilliant. And that wasn't Philip. Philip was teaching, he was preaching, he was organising. So for him, it was a huge act of faith to go to the middle of nowhere. But let me give you some breaking news. God does not ask for 360-degree feedback in his decisions. The all-loving, all-knowing God who sent his Son to die for our sins does not need us to advise him on what to do. He requires us to obey, not in a blind, unthinking fashion, otherwise he wouldn't have given us brains. But nevertheless, he requires us to obey. Can you imagine the conversations with Philip amongst Philip and some of the leaders of that church in Samaria? You're going where? And you don't know why? Are you certain an angel of the Lord spoke to you and told you to leave that particular ministry? I wonder if Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 to 7 came into Philip's mind. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. For all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So Philip found himself in the middle of nowhere. Now, he would have probably had a good grasp of the Bible. He'd remember Moses in the middle of nowhere and finding that a bush was on fire and speaking to him. He would have probably been able to recall Elijah in the wilderness being fed by ravens. And he'd probably heard the story about the Magi who trekked from miles away to come to an obscure little town called Nazareth. Heavens, some of you here might be thinking to yourself about what the Lord has planned for you when you move to an obscure little village in East Berkshire in the near future. So, but we'll find out what he has, what plans he has for us later. It must have been a great relief when he saw an important Ethiopian coming along. And the Spirit said to him, go to the chariot and stay near it. So here's Philip, trying to keep next to a chariot. And by now, he's probably got some idea of what's going to happen. Now, Pam, can you imagine, Pam, if you were asked to go and stand close to Lord Cameron of Chipping Norton? Or, Peace, can you imagine what it would be like if the Lord, an angel of the Lord, told you to go and stand next to Victoria Atkins, the health minister? That would be interesting. Or Deglish, if you were asked to go and get alongside the Right Honourable Lieutenant Colonel James Spencer Cleverly, who's currently the Home Secretary, or he was when I checked this morning, anyway. But can you imagine that? Well, you should try and imagine it. Because if you have a message that comes from the Lord, you have all the authority you need to be there. So, who is this important official? Well, the easiest translation is Jeremy Hunt. He was the Chancellor Exchequer to Candace, the Queen of the Ethiopians. Now, Ethiopia in those days wasn't quite the same geographical entity that it is at the moment. It probably covered parts of Sudan and Ethiopia and was a rough term for anywhere south of Egypt. And King Candace, correct pronunciation is probably closer to Kandake. And she's believed to have been the mother of the king of that time, and she ran the country. And if anyone's met my mother, you'd probably think if I was king, she'd be far better at running the country on a day-to-day basis than I would. Anyway, Philip ran up to the chariot, and she heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can I, unless somebody explains it to me?" If anyone's been watching the coverage of the inquest into the post office disaster, the number of things where people say, "Well, I didn't understand that," or "I didn't understand," you know, they're being torn from shred to shred. This is an honest thing. "I don't understand it. I can't understand, and somebody explains it to me." If that was a politician today, the media would rip them limb from limb, and the opposition parties would circulate it forever and a day on social media. They'd be humiliating anyone who says that. In fact, if you watch Prime Minister's questions times, some of the MPs are leaving elephant traps for whoever's in the seat at the moment to fall into it with difficult questions. So, of course, the politicians bluster their way out because they don't want to trip over themselves. It's perfectly natural. But instead of blustering, this high official said, "How can I, unless somebody explains it to me?" Perhaps the reason he was successful was because he was able to learn, or willing to learn, from somebody who most people would say was not his social equal. And he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And it's worth noting in those days that he would have been reading aloud. So imagine Philip running along next to the chariot, hearing the message of prophecy of Christ's sacrifice, written hundreds of years before that. "Ah," thinks Philip, "that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here." How good are you at spotting a situation where the Lord has placed you next to somebody you should give a message to or explain a message to them? A few years ago, I was walking along Tottenham Court Road, and about 40 yards in the distance, there were a couple of men running towards me at speed. And when the one in the lead got close to me, the one behind him started yelling out, "Stop thief, stop thief." And I looked, and he did it. As I was passing, the man yelled out again, "Stop thief, stop thief." And I thought, this is the thief going past me. And then the next thing is, this security guard, much fitter and faster, was out, and there's the security guard trying to catch him. It didn't occur to me once to stick my leg out and trip the fella up or rugby tackle him. Fortunately, he wasn't very athletic, and it wasn't long before. But I was a spectator when I should have acted. We need to be aware that sometimes we are not spectators. We should be acting. And Philip was only able to get alongside this official because he was obedient to the Lord. What would have happened if he'd said to himself, "This can't be. I'm going to stay in Samaria. I'm Mr. Misunderstood. Surely the Lord will continue to bless my work." What would have happened if he'd have leaned on his own understanding instead of obeying the Lord? If he'd have questioned why he was being sent to the middle of nowhere without a clear explanation? But Philip was led by the Spirit. And today, Richard Wallace is in Ethiopia, as he's been the whole of this week. And over there, there are descendants who trace their ancestry of faith back to that particular meeting. And Philip's asked a very direct question to a man who is clearly his social superior. "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "Please tell me, Who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with the passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And told him the good news about Jesus. The passage doesn't mention anything about Philip used his enormous intellect to reason with the Ethiopian. Unlike you'd find in Acts chapter 26, verse 24. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defence. "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." That wasn't what's in the passage about Philip. The Bible does not say the Lord granted Philip great wisdom like King Solomon. No, Philip simply explained the message of hope and was content that was contained in Isaiah, and talked about the fulfilled promise, the promise that was fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Philip was not an apostle. He started off in admin. And wherever God places us, in admin, in sales, in teaching, in support, in hospitality, in caring, in being cared for, we all need to be aware of the message of hope we can share with others. When you're lighting a fire, you start with a spark. The material does the rest. You cannot give warmth and comfort and light without a spark. And the Ethiopian accepted the gospel, saw some water and asked, "What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Why do we make belief so complicated? Philip explained the scriptures and how it was fulfilled. The Ethiopian accepted it, accepted Jesus, and he was baptized. And apart from the staff that were helping him, who was present? The Ethiopian, Philip, and the Holy Spirit. And that was it. Now we come to the tricky part for churches. When they came up from the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Nothing about Philip there saying, "Oh, this is fantastic, we're going to put you on the coffee rota. This is marvellous, we could do with an extra voice in the choir." Philip had done his job, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing and taking the gospel to Ethiopia, where it's being preached today, to millions of believers. The Jewish authorities tried to suppress and disrupt the followers of Jesus, but instead they accelerated widened the growth of the gospel, because those believers went on their way rejoicing and preaching the gospel wherever they went. At the start of chapter 53 of Isaiah, which was being read when Philip was asked the question, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" He threw up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. Now, Andy's been digging outside, and he's got an idea of what's in the garden. Some roots come up and some don't. But he ain't digging in dry ground. But this was roots out of dry ground. And at the time of Jesus' birth, there had been no prophecies for hundreds of years. The ground was not fertile. It appeared to be dry, barren ground. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. Sometimes we must feel that we're up against it. There's empty seats that should be filled. There appears to be indifference from friends and families and the community. We may feel that the media and the government are frequently listening to the tempter and not listening to us. but the Lord can and will cause tender shoots to grow up out of dry ground and flourish. Our task is to get alongside and explain that message of hope. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for opportunities to spread your gospel, not in ways that are foreign to us, but using the gifts that you've given us. We thank you for the work of Philip. We thank you for the Ethiopian official. And we thank you for all those who bring the gospel, the message of hope. Bless us this week. And on those occasions when we might not have the words, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will give us the words that you want people to hear, so that they may come to a loving understanding of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we go.